God, we just thank you for your grace. It covers us all. We thank you that we can stand before you with our heads held high. We love you in this place, Jesus. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Who loves the presence of God? Come on, raise your hands if you do. It's a great sense of the Holy Spirit in this place. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to come around the Word of God, but we're going to finish the service with this song. Is that all right? So the band will come back up. And I just really believe, really feel convicted the Holy Spirit wants to get through to some people in this place today and speak a word of life into your relationship with God. Amen? So turn to the person next to you and just say, I love God. And you may be seated. And let's never take for granted our incredible worship, praise and worship team. Come on, give them a hand. Oh, I swear I can be raptured in praise and worship. How you doing? Turn to your neighbor and just say, I am incredibly well. Don't forget tonight. Tonight is our lifestyle of freedom. We're kicking off our session, and it really is. Hear from my heart, it's a real heart's desire to really see people grow in the freedom of Christ. And, you know, I love the power of a Sunday morning service. Don't ever leave that out of any equation in your life. I've been doing it all my life, as far as I can know. As far as I can remember. There's probably a couple of years I didn't when I was away from God, but for every other time, I'm sure before I was even born, I was in church on a Sunday because my parents were. How's that go? But, you know, I think there is something moving across our church at the moment. And just to really help believers find the freedom of Christ and discipleship and live according that way. And really, that's all we're after tonight. And we've got some beautiful people that are going to help coach, stand with you in that. And what we want to do is we want to just hold people's hand and see them walk into the freedom of Christ. Amen? I was with some of our leaders this week. And, what came out of that meeting was that a lot of us that were established in God had someone that actually walked with us in our early stages of our faith. I certainly did. I had a gentleman. He was passionate about God, and he literally helped me work for the first 3 or 4 years, met with me all the time and walked me through it. And how many else had someone like that in their life? Quite a few people. And we want to establish that, at least the connection relationship, to allow that to become, I guess, everyone's testimony. Amen? Because your faith and your relationship with God is, in my books, it's the most important thing about your life. And it affects every single aspect of your life. It affects your finance, your emotional health, your relationships. Everything in your life is affected by your relationship with God. So that's what we're trying to attempt to do on Sunday nights. We're kicking off, and if you haven't registered and you just feel a tugging from God, from the Holy Spirit, that probably is, just turn up. Turn up and we'll slot you in. We're ready and prepared. Sound good? Last week I spoke on a topic, and you know, I spoke on this topic really, I guess, from my perspective, because when you want to understand the grace of God and when you sing incredible, beautiful songs like we just sung today, and you start talking about God's forgiveness over your life and how we all in this place know that we're sinners, correct? And yet we serve and love a perfect God. And we know the power of Christ. Most of us in this place would know the revelation of that. But how do you process something like feeling guilty? True? So last week I started talking about it, and I'm going to jump in there. And we started talking, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get a copy of get the podcast from last week and have a listen to it. Because guilt is something that I think last week we talked about the fact that there is a natural guilt. The Bible actually says, I guess, if we are to follow the laws of this land, like traffic rules and regulations, we can be affected by that guilt. So if you see a police person, and my analogy is when you see an RBT unit or any sort of police sitting there on the side of the road ready to catch you if you're speeding, and natural reaction is when you look out across that landscape, if you're in front of the cars, you just see this myriad of red lights come on as people brake with it. Quite often, whether they are speeding or not, it's just a reaction to that. And you might be consciously not thinking about the speed limit, and you might have drifted a few Ks over the limit. Who's done that before? Yeah. It's just easy to do. It's not, you're not flat out trying to street race the car next to you for a car swap at the end of it because you're part of some video game. I'm not talking about that, but I'm actually talking about you're just drifting and you... But you see a cop and you put your foot on the brake and you tense up and you go past it. And if you've ever been breath tested, even though I haven't drunk an alcohol at all, but you kind of feel guilty before you blow into it. You're all nervous, right? You know, you haven't done a thing, but it's just the uniform. Excuse me, sir, have you had anything to drink? No, I had a juice. It might have been fermented. I don't know. It was an apple juice. It wasn't alcohol. They're looking at you. Can you blow into the bag? And you can't blow, right? And it feels like a year. They go, could just blow in this tube until I say stop. And you go, how many times? I've been asked 3 times to do it again. Because you just, you go, and he goes, it's not enough. And then I had the same one guy. I get a bit of asthma, and he looked at me. Can you blow in the bag? Can you blow in a second time, please? Okay. You know, just to get it, and you feel like there for hours until it goes beep, and you get a reading. Is this just me, my experiences, or does anyone else have an experience like that? Seems to be just, come on, who else is with me? Who's had trouble? Thank you. There's a couple of you in this place that have been like me. So the Bible actually tells us, and we talked about that last week, that being subject to the authorities of our land is something that we actually are called to do. But what we're jumping into today, what we're talking about really, what we're talking about is guilt before God. And I'm talking for the moment, I'm talking to Christians, believers, born-again believers. How do we process this? Is there such a thing? When you do something wrong and you're a Christian, should you feel guilty? Should there be guilt in your thinking and in your mind and in your heart and in your approach to God? Romans 8 verse 1 to 4 says, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. We highlighted this last week. It says, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. I think the standout there is that God doesn't condemn you. He's condemned the sin in you. Is that okay? That's actually a huge point. Because if you, as a believer, live your life condemning others, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Are you with me? You can condemn the sin in someone without condemning the person. Are you with me? I can sit opposite someone and actually have compassion for them and actually condemn, say, hey, look, you know, this sin is ruining you. This thing you're involved in is killing you. It's killing everything that God wants to do in your life. But I love you. Are you with me? Come on. The world gets messed up. The world thinks that we're condemning them as sinners because we hate sin. Are you with me? There's a point there, and God's been misrepresented out there. Let me bring another example. We as Christians are under a greater law than the law of sin and death. Now, this is a big one. I mean, a lot of you would know this, but there is a spiritual law to sin and death, and this is where it works. Whether you are, it doesn't matter how good you are or how amazing you are, if you are not a believer of Christ, you are under a law of sin and death, and that is it. It's a technicality. There's no ifs or buts. And I've had multiple conversations with people that aren't believers and Christians, and they look at me and they go, there's no way God can condemn someone like me. I've never murdered someone, you know. I just look back at them and just go, it's a technicality here. There's a law of sin and death that is over every single person that's been born, unless you came from an alien ship. But there isn't any of that, just in case you didn't. Okay, so, because some people do. All right. Talk to Gareth. No. So the reality is that there is a law. It's a technical law, okay? And the only way for me to describe this is gravity, right? You could deny gravity. You can say that gravity isn't something that's real, and you can say, well, I don't care. I'm a good person. Gravity doesn't affect me. I'm an amazing person. And why should gravity? How could gravity affect me? How could it? But it's the law of gravity. If I jump off this stage and do a rock jump, there you go. I should have a guitar. Where's Daniel? The fact is, I went down, right? If I didn't, but I'm a good person. But there's a law, right? There's a principle. There's a law that's in effect. And if you jump off, if you jump up, you come down. It's called gravity. And what people don't understand, that there is a law of sin and death over every person set up by God. Simply, that is the law. The only way I'm going to overcome this law of gravity, there is one way to overcome the law of gravity. There's a higher law than that, and that's the law of aerodynamics. Is that all right? So if I jump in a plane, and the law of aerodynamics, if you know anything about science or anything, it's the way the wind goes over the curve. I did high school science. I listened for 5 minutes, so I remember seeing this. And it went over like this and under like this, and it creates a lift, and a plane flies, and it defies the law of gravity because the law of aerodynamics overrides it. I'm getting somewhere, right? The only way that you're ever going to defy the law of sin and death is when you open yourself up to a greater law. And that's the law of Jesus Christ, the commandment of his love. Are you with me? So it's technical. Is that all right? So when you actually connect with that, when you connect with what Christ and you connect with what he did for you and how he paid the price for you, there was a law, the enemy, that the devil had no right to destroy the life of Christ because he was sinless, and the devil broke that law and God got to create a new covenant called the New Covenant, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then basically Jesus stepped forward and said, you overstepped the mark. God stepped forward and said, you overstepped the mark, devil. The devil goes, oh, I got conned into this, and he, because he hated Jesus, and when he was on the cross, he couldn't help himself, and he killed him, and he had no right to, because he was God-man, and he was sinless, and he broke the covenant, and God rewrote the covenant, and it's called the New Covenant. Are you with me? And out of that came the grace of God, which we live in now. Is that all right? So if you're a believer, so it doesn't matter. If you're a beautiful person, you give to charity, you have 16 dogs that you've rescued from the street, you look after 400 children overseas, and you give 90% of your wage to charities, and you volunteer at Rotary and Lions Club, and you nippers on a Sunday morning. If you haven't done something about that physical law of sin and death over your life by accepting the greater law, Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. You still are into that physical law. Amen? Just like you are with gravity. No matter how good you feel. Has anyone tried to leap off the roof to see if they could? Oh, really? Jerry. Tell me it was into snow or something soft. Did you break a bone? Yeah. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wickedness shall be upon himself. That kind of clears it up. If you think that your fans are going to get you through this penalty of sin and death, you can run off theirs, or your parents or something else. It doesn't work that way. You've got to make the decision yourself. You okay? We are truly free. We are truly forgiven. We should not feel guilty anymore if you're a believer in this place. The tragedy is that so many of us do. You miss out on the incredible freedom and life of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? If your head is filled with guilt, feelings of guilt, because let me just say this, we all blow it. I'm trying to reduce my sins, but I still blow it, right? Because there's actually a lot of things you can do wrong that are actually sin, right? Worry is a sin. Come on. I'm not talking about going out and murdering someone or robbing a house or falling into some sexual immorality. There's a whole bunch of things that we are considered sin that just quietly we get involved in. Who's had one thought, be honest, one worrying thought in the last week? Come on. All right. We're talking to the right crowd here, right? Let me keep going to present a clear case. It might surprise you, but in the New Testament, there's only one instance of the word guilt being used in relationship to a believer. I'm not talking to an unbeliever. I'm talking to a Christian. Once. And just for the sake of it, because I know there's some people that are going to hone in on this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. Now, the reason for that word, the reason that the Apostle Paul used that word guilty, and that word guilty means that they are, it's a Greek word, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. There's no Greek people here, so it's okay. And it says a condition or penalty in danger of guilty or subject to. And the reason why it was because when it came to communion time, the church that Paul was talking to, the Corinthian church, were going crazy and they were feasting. And they weren't taking it serious. So they were just like going nuts. And he actually said, hey, you can't do that. There's ramifications to that. You should feel guilty about the way that you're coming to the Lord's Supper. It's a powerful thing. It's a reverent thing. It talks about the gospel of Christ. So for that practice, how they were dealing with that, they were made to feel guilty. Are you with me? It's not necessarily guilty between them and God, but guilty to the way that they were doing things. Are you with me? Come on. Other than that, there is not an instance in the New Testament, you can find it, come and talk to me, of the word guilty. I've done search after search. But the Bible says a lot about forgiveness of Christ. And then why we're on this, if you're a believer in this place and you sin, asking for, if you asked for forgiveness, does that activate forgiveness? Come on, who believes that? Raise your hand. As a believer, does forgiveness happen in your life because you asked for it? Thank you. The answer is no. No, your forgiveness in Christ is something that comes with the blood of Jesus that flows over your life. Whether you ask for forgiveness or not, you've got his forgiveness. Are you with me? Your asking does not activate the forgiveness. The forgiveness was activated from the moment you gave your life to Christ. Are you with me? It's a law that runs over your life. It's a power that runs over your life. So, okay, Ephesians 1, 7 verse. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ongoing, are you with me? Colossians 2, verse 13, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All. And back. Everything. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Are you with me? Are you still with me? We're going somewhere. This might sound like heresy. You might go, oh, so what do we do when we sin? What happens? What actually, okay, we're not supposed to be guilty. We don't have to have to ask for forgiveness to activate the forgiveness. You can say, God, I just want your forgiveness, but just know that it's not activating it. You already have it. Amen? It's like you saying, Pastor Andrew, you're sitting in the chair. Jerry is saying, Pastor Andrew, can I sit in this chair? And I will, Jerry, you're in the chair. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to tell you, out of honor, I just felt I wanted to see if it was okay, if I could be in that chair. Yeah, sure, yeah, you're in it. But yeah, if you want to ask me, that's okay. If you feel that you have to, that's good. It's okay. Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, you appreciate the fact that you have this chair, but you have it. Imagine if you had to ask forgiveness. Imagine if your sin, the only way that your sin was cleared in your life is if you had to ask forgiveness. Let's put it that way. How messed up would we be? I wake up in the morning. God, okay, what did I do last night? Oh, I've lost track. Oh, I did a worrying thought. Oh, I kicked the dog. I stubbed my toe and I profaned it. What else have I done at the end of the day? Oh my goodness, I've got to get every sin out because God's not going to forgive me unless I write every sin down. Oh my goodness, hold on, I'm worrying about it. Therefore, that's a sin. I'll have to write that one down. Are you with me? How messed up. It sounds illogical, right? And it is illogical. It's not God. So I don't want to tell you. Are you still with me? Because I'm heading somewhere. Some of this you know. Okay, there's one. People say, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't say anything about God. Actually, our asking creates the cleansing. We get it when we give our life to Christ. Amen? So, we as Christians, we're not guilty before God when we sin. We don't have to ask God to forgive us of our sins before he takes them away. And we should not feel this guilt when we sin as Christians and believers in Christ. So how do we allow God's sanctification, his work in us? What do we feel? Do you want to know what it is? The Bible actually calls it sorrow. Everyone says sorrow. And I got to say, sorrow is completely different to guilt. The two are not the same. Got your Bible? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Maybe we can slap that up. The mighty Harry at the back. Now it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourself. What indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. This is the difference. Let me jump in here with sorrow. Sorrow and guilt. Guilt is really something that makes you feel like that person is about to judge you. True? If you're sitting in an aspect, you're guilty, you're like, that person's going to judge me, that person's going to... Sorrow is a different emotion altogether. Sorrow means, let me tell you, the basis of sorrow, when you are sorrowful about doing something wrong, number one, you actually... you have to love that person to feel that emotion. Are you with me? You know, I'm going to use my wife's example. I asked, you know, I departed from God and spent a few years away from God. But if you ask my wife, one of the main reasons she never departed from God and stayed in the church and loved God, and this is her, is that she didn't want to let her natural father down. True? Are you with me? She loved her dad that much that she could never feel like she could go down that road because it would hurt him. Are you getting where I'm coming with this? See, God wants you to feel that way about him. And I tell you what, if when it comes to you as a believer, you fall into sin and all you feel is guilt, I can tell you what you've got right there. You've got an issue with your relationship with him. Are you with me? Because he is a loving God. He is a forgiving God. He is an encouraging God. His nature, that is his nature. Sure, he's wrath and his justification, but a lot of that was born, that need for wrath against sin, it says, was not placed on you anymore, it was placed on Christ at the cross. True? So when we actually stuff up, when we blow it as we do, God wants that sorrow that we feel, that we actually, we come to God and we feel, and we're like, God, look, man, I'm sorry. And I don't know if you've ever met someone like that, sat opposite someone when you've confessed something. I've been in that place where I've sat opposite a man of God or a woman of God, and I've said, you know what, I've stuffed up in some area, and I've kind of been waiting because of guilt, been waiting for all this judgment to come out of their mouth and to make me feel and just say, yeah, you bet you stuffed it, you filthy beast. Yeah, I've been watching you, and man, you disgust me. How could you? Man, people all around you have just done this and this for you, and we've done this for you. Man, you deserve some judgment. Tell you what, if that was the idea of the person I was coming to confess, I wouldn't come back. Amen? When you get someone who looks at you and just goes, man, yeah, I can see this was happening in your life, and I said opposite people, they start crying, I start crying and going, this is so good that you've come to this realization. We're going to get you through this, man. We're going to help you. This thing is not going to steal and rip off this area of your life. We're going to see grace in this area. We're going to say, I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to encourage you. We're going to go to God's word. We're going to get some strength in this area. We're going to build you up. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be a testimony one day. You're going to see other people come out of this area of their lives because of what God's done, and we're going to work. Are you with me? Come on. Well, that's how God works with you. When you come to Him, when you're sorrowful, when you look through the Word of God and you see the way that God responds to people, He responds to people that have contrite hearts. David used to be, God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And God loved that because it was sorrow. Are you with me? It was like, God. And he would wrap his arms spiritually around him and make him feel like, we can get through this. We can keep going. If you don't get to that place of sorrow, there's something wrong. If you're out there sinning like crazy and you're not sorrowful, there's something going on, right? You're not connected to God in an intimate way. And I think one of the things that's crept in is this guilt, because guilt actually drives a wedge between intimacy. Because if you come to someone, man, if someone makes me feel guilty, I avoid them. Are you with me? So you walk in the place, oh, this person. Oh, go this way. He's gonna have a piece of me. Are you with me? But when someone empathizes and hugs you and wants to be about the answer and says, oh, you can get through this, and I've got the Holy Spirit, I can work in your life, the Word of God. You don't have to do this in your own strength. You actually run in and you come into church and you run in and you hug God and you go, I blew it again. God goes, okay, I love your heart. I love you've recognized that. And I actually think when we're sorrowful, so is God. God's sorry because of what sin produces in your life. Are you with me? He knows it produces death. He knows that if you keep sinning in some area of your life, there's a principle of sowing and reaping that's going to cause an area. God loves you, forgives you, but he doesn't actually change the circumstances. Are you with me? So if you're out there cheating on your marriage and doing all sorts of things, God will forgive you and He'll work with you. But you know what? You'll have to come clean one day, and maybe you will lose your marriage, and maybe this will happen. Are you with me? There's consequences. If you go rob a bank, God will still hug you, but He'll be hugging you in jail. And someone will come in, we'll have to go visit you with a little Bible and go, hey, come on, man, you can get through this. I've done that with people. Are you with me? No, I haven't been in jail, but I've gone there because someone has what I've known, and I've hugged them and I said, come on, this is not the end of it. We can get through this. This is bad. This is really bad. Okay, they look really mean. But are you with me? this getting through? Sorrow. Godly sorrow. You know, that passage even talks about the context of that passage that we read before. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. Do you know what the background was? The background was that the church of believers were going crazy and that the people were involved in some pretty horrific things. I'll get the worship team to come up. And they were tolerating. It says that actually they were tolerating a person that was having sex with their stepmother. Like it was all out of control. It was messed up, right? And this is where Paul, in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, this is what's going on in this church, and he's addressing that. And 2 Corinthians, and then he addressed it, and he challenged it. And there's a difference between challenging and feeling sorrowful. We as a church, we as believers, we have an opportunity to challenge sin when we see it. Are you with me? But we don't do it with judgment. Are you hearing me? If someone's living a wrong relationship and doing something, we out of love, we will challenge and we'll work through grace with that person to change. We give them time and scope to move their life into repentance and change. That's what we're called to do. This is what this is all about. But I want to get them to that place where they're sorrowful when they feel the refreshing of God. Are you with me? We as believers, we don't... If there's stuff that's in your life that's destroying your life, allow us in some way to step in if we can and help you. Is that all right? We'll do it in our leaders. We have some standards here. And if people want to be in leadership, there's certain things that we're going to say, look, we're going to step in. We're going to challenge this area of your life. If you want to be leaders, if you want to walk in this door and sit in this congregation, you can be anyone and anything. I don't care. But if you want to be a leader, there are some things. I want to see everyone that comes in this place change. Amen. By the grace of God. And we will lovingly sit down with you, but we won't do it if we've got guilt on our own lives, then we actually end up judging people instead of encouraging them out of their sin to the grace of Jesus. I love the grace of God. When I stuff up, I can get before Jesus. And I can just go, I can't get this right. I need some help, Jesus. And through His Word and through the presence of God, He wraps His arms around me. And I always feel the Holy Spirit. You want to talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit? If you look at the Word of God, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict believers of sin. It says it convicts the world of sin. I haven't even gone there yet. But He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and the penalty. But we need Jesus to move in life. And I'm hoping even this Sunday night that just our coaches will sit there and just go, the freedom of Christ, we want to encourage you to move forward. Amen? I want that spirit. I'm fighting for that spirit in all our coaches, that we can allow people to move forward in God. You can do it. You can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through other people. I can't wait to get before Jesus. He wants to make me a better person. Sin is simply missing the mark, straying away from God's perfect design. That's the perfect design. Sin takes you away. And Jesus, when I meet with Him, He tells me ways that I can fix myself through the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit empowers that work. Are you with me? Why don't we stand to our feet? I love this song because the words are so beautiful. This is written in by a person who understands the grace of God and understands that we need it. Just as our team sings, I want you just to close your eyes, raise your hands if you have to. But just that, the grace of God just settle in this place. Come on. Take it away, T. Come on, church, sing it. Thank you. Every eye closed. You know, there's two people could be in this room. One, you're not assured of your salvation. If you have any doubt whether or not you're actually a believer, then you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Word of God says that perfect love casts out all fear, all doubt. And you'll know that you know that you know that you're a believer, that eternity is in your heart, that you're in relationship with Christ, that you are forgiven of all your sins, that you have the grace of God flowing over your life. You won't be in doubt of that if you know this. And if you're in this room and there's any doubt, I'm going to invite you in a moment to pray a prayer. The other person in this room I want to talk to is someone, and what we call is a backslider. And it's not giving your life to the Lord. It's actually declaring afresh and anew that you're going to live for Jesus Christ before others. And there's power in that. And it's rededicating your life. It's saying, Christ, I want to be serious in this relationship. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to commit my life to you afresh. Those are the two people I'm talking to. If you're any one of those two people, I want you to pray this prayer. We're going to pray in a moment with all your heart. Pray it with sincerity as if there's no one else around, just you and God. And everyone in this room, we're going to pray this prayer together. Come on, church. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. And by doing that, you took away all my sin, all my wrongdoing, and you replace it with your grace and your mercy, which flows over my life. I accept today that I'm a child of God, that eternity is placed in my heart, and that your forgiveness applies over my life. I accept today, as your Bible says, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' mighty name. Come into my heart, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Amen. Every eye closed. You pray that as a rededication, or just for the first time. No one looking. Every eye closed. Just raise your hand. We'd love to just have a chat with you after, or just pray with you even. Just connect with you. If that's you, just raise your hand. Anyone? Right across this place. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone look this way. House lights up if we can. Nice and bright. Big lights. Here we go. There you are. Amen. Can I pray for you before we go? Close your eyes. God, I pray that you would give everyone a revelation of how much you love them. That it is not their sin and they're letting you down that separates them at any time from you. That you are always there, no matter what state they find themselves in. If they are a believer in this place, that you stand there with your arms open wide, ready to encourage. And God, let us as believers, God, let us recognize the difference between guilt that tries to take us away and get us focused in on your judgment. And God, let open our lives up to that sorrow that we feel when we do the wrong thing that makes us run to you, embrace you, and ask you through your word and through prayer and through tears to walk with us so that this sin or this thing doesn't take a hold in our life. We love you in this place. We love what you've done for us, Jesus. It's unfathomable. It's unbelievable. It's so amazing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, beautiful. God bless you. If anyone needs prayer or anything, you can come down the front here. We're here. Love you all. God loves you. See you tonight, 6 p.m. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. You're visiting, we're getting a coffee out there. It's the best coffee on Hattersley Street.
I'm coming back to the